We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Good morning. Good to see all of you today. I told Shannon this, and I'm not just saying this to puff wind. I'm really honored that he invited me to come back today, and we have a lot of wonderful memories of the years we were here with you guys. Those of you who may not know me, I was here from 93 to 2007, and that was some of the best years of my life. And let me kind of just quickly update our family and where we've been. We left here, and we moved to Fairhope and spent 4 years down there. And then I went to be an associational missionary in a place called DeRidder, Louisiana. Does anybody know where DeRidder, Louisiana is? Not many people. You got to be going there to go there. It's kind of like Excel, where Shannon came from. That's where Judy is from, or her family was Excel, where he was at before coming here. So we spent 10 years there, and then after David's passing, we moved back here to Northport for 3 years to kind of work with our grandchildren, and I was pastor out at Buell, and Judy was the director of the Women's Center. In fact, one of the miracles that kind of occurred on the same day, at the same hour, Buell interviewed me, and Save a Life, as it was called at that time, interviewed Judy. So she went there for 3 years. And then we came back here, and then, of course, Erica and the children went overseas. They're in Taiwan right now. I'm going to show a couple of pictures the guys have. This is our family. Judy and I went over there last September to visit them, and she's an IMB missionary in Taiwan. They didn't know quite what to do with Erica, because after David died, it took her a couple of years to get kind of straightened out and going in the right direction again. And then she started calling the board, telling them she wanted to go back overseas. And they said, a single woman with children, we just don't normally do that. And she kind of proved them wrong in that. And then there's Judy. Judy's not with me today. She's as beautiful as ever. And I tell her that too. But in fact, kind of a funny thing happened. I always tell Judy every day, at least once, she's beautiful. And I appreciate her. And one time I was preaching, and I told a church, I said, men, If you don't tell your wife she's beautiful, I said, you need to start doing it. And if she ain't, you better lie. And Judy said, so you've been lying all these years. And I said, no, it's really true. But after we left here, we moved to Georgia. First time I've ever lived in Georgia. We live in a place called Adairsville, Georgia. And we work in Calhoun. I retired in January after 47 years in the pastorate. And I didn't want to go home and sit down, so we're doing hospice work, and we feel in some ways like we're doing some of our best things. But that area of Georgia where we're at has one of the only Buc-ee's in the western part of the state of Georgia. And this was the last, Calhoun, where we work at, was the last home of the Cherokee Indians before they were shipped west by our government. And so if you ever pass through there, you ought to stop and see the community. It was there. They had their own politics and government and Supreme Court. And all that was in Gordon County at a place called Calhoun. Of course, that area is one of the largest, if not the largest, producer of carpet in America. And if you go up through there, you see all these warehouses and stuff. But that's where we're at right now, doing hospice work. And then there's a picture of John and his family. Judy and I were in Chattanooga when that picture was taken. And that we were sitting there in a restaurant on the banks of the Tennessee River that flows through there. And this is John and his family. And actually, they are standing at Chimney Rock, the town that was completely destroyed by the floods. And they're on up on top of the mountain. And that's where they were at when that picture was taken. But that's kind of where we're at today. If you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 39, and I want to share a few things with you. And Shannon, I tell you, brother, I was a little bit nervous about coming today. One, 17 years is how long I've been gone, and I knew somebody would come up to me and say, do you remember me? So let me just warn you in advance, don't say, do you remember me? I'll look at you cross-eyed like I know you, but I was worried about remembering everybody. So that's one thing. And then the other thing, I turned 71 last month and just retired. And I was always under the conviction, you know, as we get older, we don't remember things as well as we once did. And we tend to repeat sometimes. And I said, I'm not going to be a part of trying to lead a church when I repeat myself on about every third sentence. But that made me nervous too, Shannon. So anyway, I'm honored, brother, and I appreciate it. The 47 years I served in ministry, probably my favorite time was the 10 years I served as an associational missionary, because I work with pastors. And that's my heart, is to work with pastors. And I enjoyed so much working with them. Now, to begin with, before we look at the scripture together today, I got to tell a kind of an embarrassing story on myself. You know, a few weeks ago, Hurricane Helene came through. And it was supposed to come right up through where we live. And so one day at lunch, the hurricane was coming, and we were starting to get those feeder bands in. And so one day at lunch, I couldn't go out and see patients. So I went down to the park and to read a book. And I got in there and parked under this big oak tree, and the rain started up. And after I read a few minutes, I dozed off and went to sleep. And you know, that's kind of something you do when you're 71, but also when you're reading a book. So in a few minutes, this white pickup truck pulled up beside me, and the guy blew his horn. I thought, what in the world is he doing trying to wake me up? And I looked out, and water was about that deep around my car. And this man said, sir, I don't know about it, but I think if I were you, I would get on higher ground. And so I started driving out of there, worried if my little Toyota car was going to make it out. Now, I want you to hang your thoughts on that picture today, and I want to talk to you and to Chapel Hill and to us individually about getting on higher ground. Now, the 39th Psalm was written by David, and David was kind of struggling at this point in his life. And in fact, he had a problem with his tongue. Look what he says. I don't have these verses on the screen, but we'll pick up on the screen in a second. He said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. Do y'all ever say to yourself, I need to keep my mouth shut? That's a question. And if you don't answer that right, you're lying, and you need to come to the altar today. But he says, I'm going to muzzle my mouth. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my heart was hot within me. Now, that's the part I want you to really focus on there. David was struggling, and he said, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. It's like there was a fire burning in his heart. And so he's wanting desperately to get to higher ground. And then he prays this prayer in verse 4. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. I don't know why, but when Shannon called me to come up today, this passage came to my mind, and I began to formulate a few things I want to say to you. And basically, it's simply two things that David does that I want to share with you today. Number one, as you face your life, your future, your home, your church, accept the reality of life. Say that with me. Accept the reality of life. Now notice, David makes points here about life. Look at verse 3. They'll put it on the screen. Number one, life can be painful. He says, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. And so David is basically saying life can be painful. Since I've left here in 2007, I've lost my dad. I had only one brother, and he passed away in 2008. In 2020, our oldest son, David, passed away. And so I think everybody in this room could agree with me, life sometimes can be painful. We agree with that? Judy and I work with hospice, and we have some heartbreaking stories that we deal with people. And a lot of those people are going through painful and difficult times. But you know, it's not just us. The Apostle Paul once said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, He said, I was so pressured that I almost despaired of life. Can you believe, here's the man that wrote about half of our New Testament, and he was so distraught over life and the pain of life that he says, we were at the point of giving up. Even Jesus, when he hung on the cross, you remember what he said? My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, Paul, me, you, one of the things that we have to accept about life is that life can be painful. Principle number two here about life, no one is infinite. Look at verse 4. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Shannon was showing me that program or bulletin, whatever it was there, and I said, Shannon, you know, as I look down at that list of former pastors and people who've been at Chapel Hill, there's not many of them left around. And the fact is, pastors do not live forever. And so when I told somebody out there a while ago, I said, about 4 years ago, we were here visiting, that's shortly after David's death. And I told Elijah, I said, let's go over to the gym. They were living up here at Five Points. Let's go over to the gym and play a game of basketball. And so we go over there, and when I was younger, I was a pretty decent basketball player, and I could jump up and touch the goal, and I'm a little bitty boy, and so I was, you know, decent in basketball. So we go out to the gym, and I think, oh, this won't take long to take care of my grandson in a game of horse. Y'all, I picked up a basketball, and I shot. I didn't even hit the rim. And more so, I ran up and I thought, I wonder how high I can shoot. I couldn't even touch the net coming down from under the thing. But it reminded me that nobody is infinite. I hate to tell you some bad news today. You're not going to live forever. And so David says, life can be painful. No one is infinite. No one's going to live forever. And then thirdly, life is short. Look at verse 5. Indeed, you had made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is of a vapor. Now, a handbreadth, they use your hand as a kind of a form of measure. It's around 4 or 4.5 inches. And David says, my life is short. It's like going out on a cold morning. You know, these last few mornings have been pretty cool, and you go out and you do a puff, and your wind is gone. And David says, in essence, there that life is short. Now, I want to just confess to y'all up front. I'm not giving in to getting older. I'm fighting with everything I can. In fact, Friday, if I walk kind of funny, Friday I went with one of my pastor buddies. He's about 40, and we went up in the mountains hiking. And I told Kevin and Francis last night, I said, I'm stiff as I can be from walking in the mountains. And so I'm not wanting to give in. And many of you remember when I was here for about 40 years of my ministry life, I had headaches. And I would get deathly sick, throw up and all that stuff. And so these doctors, they tried everything you could imagine. So finally, I was living down near Lake Charles, Louisiana, and he said, well, we've tried everything. Let's try Botox. And so I don't know if you're familiar with the treatments for Botox and headaches, but they give you about 30 shots in your forehead, in your neck, in your scalp, all over. He tried that on me for about 2 years, and I finally went in one day, and I said, Doc, this is helping just a little bit. But I'm going to ask you to do one thing for me, and I'm quitting this Botox business. I want you to give me one shot in my temple, and I'm quitting if it don't work. Y'all, I haven't had a headache in 5 years. The doctor listened to me. Praise God for that. But here's my point. Last time I went to get my Botox shot here in my temple, the doctor said to me, he said, Tim, I got a little bit of left here. Would you mind if I give you a shot in your forehead? And it'll take some of those wrinkles out. I said, shoot it up, brother. I want to get... That's why I look so good today. I had a Botox shot in my forehead. But the thing I'm saying to you, you know, life is short, and I don't want to give in. Now, these points I've just made for you, life can be painful. Nothing or no one is infinite. Life is short. And you can't change what is. Now, accepting, now the point, remember here, the point I'm making with you is you need to accept the reality of life. Accepting life's reality is kind of like having surgery. A few weeks ago, I was visiting this family, and this lady said to me, said, Tim, would you pray for me? She said, I've got a skin cancer, and it's all up and down the side of my face. And so I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. And a couple of weeks later, I went back, and this lady had a cut from here all the way down to about the bottom of her cheek. And I said, how did your surgery go? She said, well, I looked horrible, but she said they got the cancer out. Now, here's what I want you to understand and be reminded of. Life sometimes is a slap in the face, and it's hard to accept. Now, I know when I talk about life is short, life is painful, you think, preacher, you're depressing me. Get on to something positive. Now, you say, what's this got to do with our 80th celebration today? If we're assessing or accepting life, then there's a big question we need to ask ourselves, what am I doing with my life? Shannon, I join you hand in hand in that in asking this church, what are we as a church doing with the life we've been given? We've been 80 years, wonderful years. But the question we're needing to face is, what are we doing today? They're going to put a verse on the screen, Acts 13:36, a verse you possibly have never seen before, but it's a summary of David's life. Look at it. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. In other words, he died and they buried him. But what did David do? After he had what? After he had done what? He served his generation. Folks, the real question for a church is to ask, how are we serving our community? Your question, my question is, how am I serving my God? Am I doing His will? Am I following Him? Y'all know David, our oldest son, died in 2020. It was some amazing things. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. It was some amazing things that happened around David's death. One of the things, it was just the hand of God. In May, when David died in October, he asked four of his colleagues over in China to write an obituary of him. And he said, also, I want you to write an obituary about yourself. So here was these four godly missionaries wrote an obituary about David and what they would say about him if they had to speak at his funeral. Guess who four of the people who spoke at his funeral were? And this is seemed more amazing. They said the same things in October that they said in May. And so there's a guy by the name of Stephen Covey who's dead now, but he wrote a book some years ago entitled Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of the principles that Stephen Covey makes in that book, if you want to plan your life out, go and start at your funeral. What do you want people to say about you? If you want people to say you're kind, act with kindness. If you want people to say you're happy, act happy. If you want people to say, that guy really loved God, that lady really loved God. And so you see the point I'm making for you here today out of this 39th Psalm? David says life is short. And I'm trying to accept the reality of it. And he says, God, help me to accept the reality of life. And friends, the best way you and I can accept and face life is to serve God and live for Him. You know, there's a lot of people who don't have a clue about life. They live in life to hunt, to fish, to have a good time. And that's good stuff to do. But friend, God placed you and God placed me on this planet to serve Him and to serve other people. There's a lot of churches that don't get this principle. They think that if they show up on Sunday, sing a few songs, and go home, they've done their job. Friends, when we leave this church on Sunday, we're just starting our job. God wants us to be out in the community serving people and loving people and being Jesus to the community we live in. And when you accept that the reason why you take up space on this planet, you accept life, accept the fact that God created you to serve Him. So go back to where I started at. That man told me to get on high ground. I got on high ground. But sometimes we, as individuals and churches, need to assess, am I moving toward high ground? And that begins with me accepting the fact that the reason why I'm here taking up space is to serve Him. Now, there's a second point here that David makes, and you'll find this in verse 7. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in You. So I'm giving you a simple two-point meditation today. Number one, accept the reality of life. But number two, live in hope. And y'all know this, I know this, but I need to be reminded, folks, there's a lot of things hope is not. Hope is not a person. You know, we're wondering, who's going to be elected our next president? Friend, hope is not in either one of the candidates. And all the people said, it's not a person. It's not in the possessions you have. It's not in people. You know, in football, I remember back in the 70s and early 80s when Bear Bryant died. You know, everybody thinks, who's going to replace Bear Bryant? And I'm glad that Saban's finally gone now. Well, who's going to replace Saban? I told Kevin yesterday, I said, you know, I don't know whether our celebration tomorrow is going to be a celebration or not after this football game. But you know, we think we got to put our faith in this person. Y'all may remember this story, put a little lighthearted in here. When I told the story when I was at Chapel Hill, years ago, there was this old Texan out in West Texas. He had this huge ranch, and everybody, he liked to flaunt his wealth. And everybody was just goo and awe over him and his wealth and his possessions. And when he died, he told people, he said, when I die, I want y'all to bury me in my white Cadillac. And he drove his white Cadillac around town, had a convertible top, and he put his big old cowboy hat on, drive around town like that. When he died, they did what he wanted him to do. They buried him in his white Cadillac, set him up in there, put the hat on his head, had the convertible down, and everybody was coming by to look at this man. And you know what one guy said about that? He said, man, that's living. You get it? And so that man didn't understand that life is not consist of your possessions. Today, on this special day in the life of Chapel Hill Baptist Church, are we living our life to serve other people and to serve our community, but are we lifting up Jesus and the only hope that comes and found through Him? I mentioned a moment ago that our son David died in October of 2020. Y'all, Judy and I almost died when that happened. And when you lose a loved one, and some of you have lost husbands and wife and children in recent years, and you know death is not a picnic. But you know what? I was painfully reminded when my son died that if you don't have the hope of Jesus Christ, and if you don't have hope that's beyond your possessions and the people around you and your job, you don't have anything. And so he comes down here to this seventh verse. He said, Lord, my hope is in You. And he affirmed that. And so today, I just want to challenge you, friends, to look at your heart. And do you have, notice that seventh verse again. Now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in You. It's not possessions, it's not power, it's not prestige. It's in You, Lord. And so David had a personal relationship with God, and all of you know that the way to have a relationship with God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so David affirmed, he said, you know, this life is passing. I'm frail. I'm old. I can't keep my mouth shut. And he built his life around that hope. And friends, I just want to ask you today, do you have the hope of Jesus Christ in your heart? And do you know that you know that you know that you know God and his son, Jesus Christ? And my prayer today is that you do. And so what I'd like to do as we close out today, I'd like for us just to bow our heads in prayer right now. And there could be somebody here today and your future doesn't look too bright because you don't know God. You don't know his son, Jesus Christ, and you've never prayed and ask God to forgive you for your sins. And in this service today, in this environment, you see the emptiness of your heart. You see the frailness of your spirit. And so right now, you realize you need the hope that only Jesus Christ can bring. It's not in being a Baptist. It's not in being a Methodist. It's not in being a Catholic. David said, my hope is in you. Would you stand to your feet, please? And I've asked Shannon to come stand here. This would just be a time of prayer. And if someone is here today and you don't have the assurance that you know Jesus Christ in a personal way, then while people are praying around the center, that you got to invite. I'm going to ask him then to start singing this song. But most of you just pray while this is being done. And if today you need to come speak to this pastor and say to him, Brother Shannon, I don't have the assurance that Jesus Christ lives in my heart. Can you guide me in that decision? Maybe today there's someone here and you're struggling with doubts and uncertainty. And you just want to come and kneel here and just say, God, I'm really struggling to find hope in my life and assurance. And during this time, as this musician leads us, and his brother Shannon stands here. If you need to come speak to him, do so. And I turn the service over to him when this finishes up.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.